Official, it's Danielle Fischel,
Ryder Strong,
and Will Friedle from Pod Meets World.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste.
Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten.
Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party.
So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles.
Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. To New South Wales, Jeremy Zachas. It is the Southern Hemisphere, summertime, after Christmas, January, and moving towards fall. However, the weather has been intensely warm these last weeks, Jeremy's reporting. People living at the beach, the barbecues may be even too hot to get near given how hot it's been. And now, Jeremy, we were comfortable with the heat overwhelming all of South Australia, all of New South Wales, even Victoria. But you tell me there's been a sudden switch as if somebody hit a light. What happened?
G'day, John. Well, everything you just described about the summer we've had with the hot weather, the being too hot for barbecues, which I can attest to, we've had many more days indoors than I like to remember. Well, all of that has completely gone away this week, and it completely went away over the course of about 2 days. So what happened was we went from having really, really hot days. So we're talking 100-degree days in some parts of the eastern seaboard here, which is 37 degrees Celsius, to almost overnight having temperatures plummet to almost round about, almost freezing in some parts of New South Wales, but very much down to the single digits, and then only rising to around about maybe 60, 70 degrees Fahrenheit during the day, literally in the space of about 24 to 48 hours, depending on which part of the state you were. And the interesting part was, not only did they plummet so quickly, but they stayed cool. So since we've spoken last, we've actually had a week where the temperatures have been very, very cool by comparison to what we had in summertime, and we've been getting driving rain and storms. We have been getting more storms than I've ever really remembered at this time of year, any other year, and that looks like it's going to continue. So, John, we have had, literally without any doubt of a lie, a 180-degree turn in the weather, and it's all unexpected in many ways because, as you may remember, we were talking about possible catastrophic bushfires here around this time of year when we were speaking about it last November, and the Bureau of Meteorology was forced to actually change its seven-day forecast on Monday this past week because it originally said we were expecting to get very hot and dry temperatures and winds throughout the week, but then by Tuesday when it became very, very obvious that we weren't, that forecasts would change, and basically all we saw on the weather radar was rain. So really, John, we're in complete rain right now. We're really getting cooler temperatures, and it actually feels like we're in the fall season already, even though we technically should have two more months to go.
And La Nina was there just last year. You had I don't remember the cycle. Wasn't it there recently, La Nina?
It was. In fact, this is our fourth La Nina, and this is where it gets a little bit strange because really, we should be out of the La Nina cycle right now because of the way that the oceans are cooling around Australia and the jet stream overhead is creating a mixture of hot and moist air into the cool and sort of air at the lower levels coming out of the ocean. All of that was supposed to change about now, and it looked like it had back in early December when we got the really, really hot temperatures. But then all of a sudden, around towards the very end of December, everything started to change back to the La Nina conditions that we literally had this time last year. So the short answer is, John, we should be not in a La Nina right now, but the fact is we actually are again, which means we're heading probably down the track of again seeing a year that's going to have a lot of wet weather and a lot of possible flooding as opposed to having a very, very dry winter, which is what we were originally expecting. So in some ways that's good because it means for our farmers especially there's going to be a lot of rain, which means the crops will grow very well and we should be able to see a lot of our food cycles continue as they need to. But the problem is, John, you may remember too, as soon as we get these conditions, La Nina is what basically causes the mice plagues, what causes the mice plagues to then become snake plagues because, of course, the snake eat the mice, and we get a lot of other problems on top of it. So while it's great that it's not going to be so hot, reality is, John, La Nina is going to bring us into another season of devastating floods and possible other disasters when we really, really needed a break from it.
Jeremy and I have been studying climate, and a recent article in Nature magazine. This is the peer-reviewed top of the pile for Europe. Jet stream controls on European climate and agriculture since 1300 Common Era. Now, there's 800 years of data they put together about the jet stream. We've got a jet stream in the north that determines the snowfall here in New England. We had a nice, gentle snowfall this morning. Not a big wet storm that could have come because it diverted it toward the south or the north. But I read from the abstract. The jet stream is an important dynamic driver of climate variability in the northern hemisphere mid-latitudes. That's where I am. And Jeremy's in the mid-latitudes in the southern hemisphere. Modern variability in the position of summer jet streams, latitude in the North Atlantic European sector, promotes dipole patterns in air pressure, temperature, precipitation, and drought between northwestern and southeastern Europe. Okay, there's a lot of detail here, but what it tells us is what Jeremy's experiencing with the jet stream in the south. We experience the jet stream here in North America. This article centering on Europe. For 800 years, the jet stream is unpredictable. But when you get the pattern, once you solve it, you know whether or not you're going to get drought or flooding or high temperatures or low temperatures. Has very little to do with climate change, has more to do with the jet stream. Now, it may be the jet stream is somehow determined by the heat of the surface of the earth. I don't know. This article doesn't take us there. But it introduces to me that the pattern over the last 800 years is variability. There's a wonderful word here, sinuosity. You know, the jet stream looks like a snake, up and down, up and down. When it goes south, about a week ago, the southern states and the mid-Atlantic states got hit with a heavy snowstorm. Washington was clobbered. We had nothing here in the southern New England. Ordinarily, that storm would have turned north towards Maine and Newfoundland. It didn't. It went right out to sea. We got brushed here in southern New England with a little rain and a little snowfall, and then it was gone. Jeremy, we've been watching your weather variability these last 3 years. The ones that I remember that were determinative was the Indian Dipole, the Antarctic winds that come up and hit you in the East Coast, and the tropical storms that come from the south. Are there charts of what the jet stream does to you? Do they talk about the jet stream on the weather reports?
Yes, in fact, they do, because the jet stream here, as you mentioned, there in the northern hemisphere, the jet stream drives a lot of our climate and a lot of our weather from year to year and season to season. And like as you mentioned too, the sinuosity of the jet stream in the north is replicated here in the south. In fact, if you look at the southern jet stream over Australia, what it actually does is it comes in from the Indian Ocean along a latitude called 40 degree latitude called the Roaring Forties, basically hits the coastline, heads up north for a little bit, then comes back down again and sort of does like a snake arch pattern over Australia. And then it kind of traces where the Great Australian Bight is. If you have a look at a map of Australia, you'll notice that there's kind of a half crescent on the bottom half of our country, which is ocean and then all desert. And the actual jet stream traces across the top of the Great Australian Bight, comes down over South Australia again, and then basically tapers straight off into the eastern seaboard and directly over Sydney and most of the major population centres. So what it's actually doing is it's picking up a lot of moisture out of the Indian Ocean, mixing in with a lot of hot, dry and really, really warm temperatures and land heat coming off of the deserts in the south, and then basically coming back through all of the eastern seaboard and southern eastern seaboard, creating like this layer of wind. And what that actually does, as he alluded to there, it creates almost a barrier. So as we get these Arctic blasts from the south, and as we get the cooling of the oceans in the east, and then the warming of the ocean in the north and the tropical areas, all of this is normally kept apart by the jet stream. But when the jet stream weakens and when it slows down or when it changes slight direction or altitude, sometimes this allows bleeding of the different moistures in the air and the different dryness of the air to come in together, which then creates different temperatures and different winds and different weather systems over different parts of the continent. And the La Nina is one of the symptoms of that. So what we're seeing now is a jet stream that is a little bit further north right now. It's allowing a little bit of the cooling in from the oceans in the Pacific Ocean to come through onshore into the eastern seaboard here, which is now generating cooler temperatures over land and is therefore cooling a lot of the clouds and moisture that would have been otherwise pushed out to sea of the Pacific Ocean and is creating those rain patterns. So it's a long way to answer your question, John, but the reality is the jet stream in Australia is talked about a lot because it is a fundamental part of our weather. And interestingly, too, that sine wave I was talking about, if you have a look at how it tracks over Australia, it pretty much hits all the major population centres because as you head to the northwest of Australia, that top left part of the map there, there's really not a lot of population centres. Up in the northern reaches of Australia, you don't have a lot of population centres there in the central part. And it's only when you hit the east coast again where you have Queensland and Brisbane and certainly the upper Queensland coastal towns and cities where the jet stream does hit and create that tropical air mass. Those are where the jet stream basically tracks across. So it's really a big part of all our lives. The weather forecasters use it to determine how bad a season it's going to be, typically here in Australia, for whether it's dry or wet. But honestly, it is actually something that does really change our weather from day to day and something that we watch very, very closely.
In light of projections for altered jet stream behavior and intensified climate extremes, reading from the article, our findings, the collective scientific document here is a product of about 30 people. Our findings underscore the importance of considering EU-JSL variability when evaluating amplified future climate risk. We're in the early days of imagining the climate ahead of us, Jeremy. That's what I'm learning from this. Jet stream, once you say the jet stream's important, you go, well, of course it is. What I didn't know is that they weren't taking it into account. And now that we have considered that it does, that would be one mechanism for this sudden switch of your weather.
In fact, that's exactly right, because the big part of the weather right now, which is was supposed to be hot and dry and very much conducive to fires all across Australia, the reality is that it's not, because what is happening is as the jet stream has weakened in some parts of Australia, what should be effectively the dry weather dominating the landscape, it really isn't. It's actually the moisture and the cooler weather coming out of the oceans and from the south, getting up into the airstream and actually mixing, as opposed to being basically bouncing off and disappearing again. So we've had a jet stream that's done almost not exactly the opposite to what we expected, but hasn't really behaved the same way that we expected. And a big part of it too, if I remember correctly, is that the jet stream itself has pushed a little bit further north, which is what's created this La Nina condition. So really the jet stream is what it's all about, especially here in Australia for the long-term forecast and the seasonal forecast. But it shows us that as much as we believe we know as humans about what the weather's going to do, we just can't predict it. We really can't predict these sudden changes, which, you know, could be driven by climate change and really is driven by the fact that our knowledge is still so limited about the cycles that we can expect to see with the jet stream. So honestly, John, I think what I'm saying is that the jet stream and the weather here in Australia have really called us out again. It's shown us that as much as we think we know the climate and the meteorology, we honestly don't. We're learning every year. And this year is certainly going to be another one, I think, where we're going to learn a lot more about the climate.
Here come the snakes. Jeremy Zachas, New South Wales. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.